Mamá, papá, mi cuerpo crece a un ritmo alarmante y la ropa que me compren ahora me quedará muy pequeña muy pronto. Pero su billetera no tiene que sufrir por la moda con los precios bajos de la vuelta a clases de Amazon. Amazon, gasta menos, sonríe más.
Paquetes Expedia. Vives para disfrutar de la música con todos tus sentidos. Vivimos para brindarte paquetes de viaje y experiencias por menos. Expedia. Vivimos para viajar.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Okay, the news we've been waiting for.
Anthony Richardson goes out of the gun, ball in the near hash, backs to throw, and he is decked from the left.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He hit me, then I was trying to make sure I had the ball, and I just looked down, and I see my finger different.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, six-year NFL veteran Andrew Hawkins. Gold medalist Paralympian Ezra Freck. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, hour number two, the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Andrew Hawkins is going to join us in studio. That'll be fun. We haven't had Hawk here in a while. Hour number three, we have one of the best Paralympians this country has to call its own. Ezra Freck will be here talking in advance of his documentary called Adaptive, which is on Peacock, which means you could see it right here on Roku. Our friends here at Roku have everything you need. We've loved being a part of their world on the Roku channel. And we're here all 3 hours today. Hour number one, great chat with Tom Pelissero. And then there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We came on the air talking about two of the preseason games from last night, Colts and Ravens. And obviously we were more Colt-centric since Anthony Richardson had an absolute disaster of a moment that turned out to be just a learning moment, another one in his career, and another moment in which he was not available because of whatever's going on with him, mental, physical, however. And so we also talked about the way Joe Burrow looked last night in Philadelphia. The Seahawks and the Raiders, let's talk about them, as we're now on the air on Raider Nation Radio in the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada right now. We say hello to everybody out there.
Hello, hello.
You know, I was kind of stunned last night. Pete Carroll looking morose, showing his age. And wait a minute. I'm being told it's the exact opposite. How great was it seeing this guy bouncing around, chewing gum, doing his thing?
Chewing gum?
Dude, the autumn wind is Pete friggin' Carroll. And it's just, it was great. And Seattle of all places for him. You know, for him to be back on a sideline after a one-year sabbatical, let's call it that, where he was teaching at USC, class that Suze is picking up this fall,
nice.
And as an adjunct professor. And it was just great to see him do his thing, clapping for a missed extra point, or blocked extra point, right? Even though his team's down 10, he's welcoming back to the sideline, flipping out, wigging out, doing his thing. And I just loved seeing that. Tie game, you know, it ends 23-all. The Raiders had a chance to win it. And that field goal attempt, as we all know, left it a tie game. And listen, Geno got the start. So Geno's back with Pete in Seattle. Both got big ovations. It was pretty cool to see the 12s give the due. We'll see how it all plays out. But Geno's a vast improvement, with all due respect to Aiden O'Connell, who did get the reps last night after Geno went out. 18 to 30 for 205 yards, a score and two interceptions. But that's not the plan. The plan is to go out there with Geno and get it done with Geno, and he's going to calm the waters. And then the other part of it is Ashton Jeanty. Let's see what he looks like. And the first thing we noticed is his pre-snap stance. Now, again, his stance that he had in Boise State, the nickname was the Jason stance, because he would stand upright, sort of like the famed horror character, just standing there, staring you down, and the house calls were coming from within the house, right?
Yep.
And the conversation was Chip Kelly, the new OC there, and Pete were like, that's just not the way it's done in the National Football League. You need to have a more traditional stance. And he did come out in the more traditional stance last night. But you're already seeing the conversation, even though, again, it's preseason, even though, again, you know, the kid ran three times for minus 1 yard.
You had more yards rushing
yesterday,
Rich.
We all did combined. You know what I mean? I get it. But it's going to be like, oh, God, it's because they told him to change his stance. And why are you messing with the stance that had him be Ashton Jeanty? We'll find out if that's a legitimate question and concern. You know, in the first order of business, it'll be up to the New England defense to make that a narrative, because that's where Pete is bringing the Raiders to start things off. And I guess last night was a little taste. Pete's back on the sideline in a place where he used to coach. And the regular season's going to start off that way. And the preseason started off that way. But it's just, you know the way I feel about Pete. I'm obviously biased. But it was just great to see him back. He's doing his thing. Bouncing around, chewing gum, clapping, getting the kids up for competing. Hit it.
It was cool to be here. I loved it here. I've always loved the whole... You know, the whole experience that we had here, all those years together and all of that. And I don't forget that, and I don't disrespect that in one bit. But it didn't translate to something crazy to me. It was just an opportunity to play in a great setting. And thanks to the league for putting us in this game when they figured it out. It was a good idea. And it's been a good one to look forward to. And I thought we handled it all right. I just wish we would have played better.
Was it weird at all at any moment?
No. No, only that there was a couple times when guys made plays, and I'm looking at the screen at the end in the end zone, and I thought that was our guys making the play. You know, that did happen a couple times.
I love it. I love it. Brock Bowers didn't play, so let's go, right? But the first play, Geno's rolling, was right. He had options, like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Chip's going to know what to do. It's exciting. I'm excited for you Raiders fans out there. Very, very excited for you. You know, Seattle, no Sam Darnold. Jalen Milroe did get in there. Drew Locke's back in the mix there. You know, what else do we have to talk about here? I mean, it's all about running the ball, and it's going to be about that wide receiver room without DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. I mean, they have turned a page there, man. But Mike McDonald is in the mold of you know, John Schneider and what this fan base is used to. Tough defense, run the ball, smart offense, don't turn it over, let the quarterback do his thing. And you know, Seattle's opener is against San Francisco. What a week on game. When Pelissero's talking about it, we're so close to week one action, as he said an hour ago. I kind of got all fired up about
close.
That, right?
Yeah, we are close. These two teams, I just think they're kind of similar. They're in the same boat, you know, in different conferences. They play in tough divisions. They're going to have a lot of things go right to make the playoffs. And then you got quarterbacks in new spots and, you know, successful guys for the most part. Sam Darnold, you know, we've seen it one time. Geno's been doing it for a couple of years. I kind of look at them as kind of the same team.
Do you, and we'll ask this question then move on to what's more likely. Do you have a Jalen Milroe package if you're them?
The packages, you keep saying,
remember,
I can't
gonna be
see
a
how you
Lance
watched the game
package.
Last night and don't think, man, we need to get this guy on the field.
Right?
Red zone, inside the 10.
But you're also disrupting your offense when you do it. You know what I mean? Like, if Sam Darnold's cooking, why do you take him off the field? It makes no sense to do that. but he is a weapon.
I don't know, man. He's pretty dynamic.
Right. Last year when things were struggling a bit with Russ towards the end of the season, there wasn't even a concept of let's have a Justin Fields package. Remember Trey Lance? He, in the first drive of his career,
had the first touchdown that season
because they took Jimmy G off and they would put him in the red zone. Do you do that if you're Seattle? Why would you do that if you've got Sam Darnold, you're paying him that money and he's winging it around and you got Kenneth Walker? I mean,
right.
Just sometimes, don't mean to tell Seattle fans this, that it's keep it simple.
It's okay to just hand it off.
You know what I mean? I was trying to not hit the nail directly on the head, but you're the Patriot fan, so
that worked out for.
Although, and speaking of Marshawn, did you see he was on the sideline as a photog last night?
I did. That was cool.
So,
see what he did?
Yeah, he gave
the elbow. Got a little too close.
Or I'm shivering. Hey,
yeah,
it's just like bam.
You can't
trying to protect his camera.
Hey, listen, even if you've got a camera and a vest. You still beast mode.
I can't take it out of him.
You can't.
Because that was a kind of an unnecessary shot. You could have just put your hand up.
I saw that too. That was great. That was funny. All right. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial if you're on hold. Stay on hold and enjoy this edition of What's More Likely. Hit it.
What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
I'm loving it.
Hey, everybody. Happy Friday.
Oh, baby. What's more likely after football's been played?
Yeah, all this has to do with the matchups this week, okay?
We're back.
We're totally back. Guys, who's more likely to have had the better night on Thursday? Who had the better Thursday night? The Bengals offense or Trey Hendrickson? Who had the better Thursday night?
I'm going to go the Bengals offense because if you're implying, and you are, that the Bengals defense gave up 30 plus points last night in a preseason game, and that's Trey Hendrickson saying, "Hey, you need me.
Hey, I'm here.
That means that still has to land in the mind's eye of whoever's job it is to open the Velcro wallet and pay Trey Hendrickson. Still, I don't think last night's result on the scoreboard will result. Not yet. Their next game is against the Washington Commanders on a Monday night on ESPN, the whole country. Standalone game. Burrow is probably going to, play a half?
I would think so,
Daniels, we'll see what's up. And then maybe the clock will get closer to midnight. But I'll go the Bengals offense, sir.
Okay.
Because I still haven't heard that noise yet. What else, Chris?
Guys, a couple of rookie quarterbacks got some action last night. Which one most got themselves closer to some run this year? Riley Leonard or Jalen Milroe?
Yeah, we did just talk about Milroe, 6 of 10 for 61. I don't think there won't be a Riley Leonard package, if you will, for Indianapolis. There could be a Jalen Milroe package for Seattle, if you want to work that in there. You mentioned Riley Leonard because with Richardson going down and then Daniel Jones getting way more snaps than was expected in that game. Riley Leonard came in and was 12 of 24 for an interception.
Ran it for 34 yards.
So I'll say Milroe because you're not going to get a Riley Leonard package. And the only way he's going to play is if there's an injury disaster in Indianapolis this year. But it's just when I saw that and I saw him out there and getting some reps, the person I thought was the kid who beat Riley Leonard in Notre Dame that night and how Will Howard's being robbed of that activity because of his unfortunate injury. And that's terrible. So at least good news, Riley Leonard's getting in some quality reps, but Milroe's got the chance to say, hey, you know, you've got to give me a package here. Although that does indicate to an NFL defense, we're packaging everybody. It's like sending up a flare. Something crazy is about to happen. What else, Chris?
These two teams are getting at it this weekend. Who's more likely to win their division, Lions or Falcons?
Well, I mean, I'll go Falcons just because I think the NFC North is a deeper end of the pool and a tougher schedule for the Lions to navigate. But yeah, I'll do that. wouldn't you say you already discounted the Saints from basically competing in 2025?
Yes.
And, you know, we still need to see Carolina, although I'm very bullish on their opportunity to win games this year.
I'm excited to watch them tonight.
Okay, if not their division. So that means it might be a two-team race, and again, in the NFC
Bucks.
South.
Bucks, obviously.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Whereas the Lions have a deeper end of the pool, so I'll just say that.
Okay. Three-team race in the North, or are we discounting the Bears?
Brother, we just got to see what Caleb looks like. And we're all assuming he's just going to stink on ice again, or at least it's going to be a struggle because of, you know, training camp footage of him throwing against a backstop.
All right, we'll get to
with
Caleb.
Holes in it.
We'll get to Caleb in a second.
You know, and then he's all upset about not hitting the backstop properly, and everyone's like, well, he's a baby. It's so stupid. He could look terrific first night on ESPN, Monday Night Football, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa. So I don't know. I'm just saying that there are four teams that are viable. There are more viable teams in the NFC North than the South.
Okay, I buy that.
Thank you. You made me work for that.
Who's more likely to have more wins this year, guys? The Bills, the actual team that plays in New York, right?
This guy.
Or the Giants and Jets combined?
Ooh.
Bills Giants play this weekend.
I'm going to Cape for my hometown, sir.
Put it on for your city, Rich.
Yeah. I'm saying there's going to be more life in MetLife this year.
Really?
Yeah. So if the Jets win 7 and the Giants win 6,
yeah,
the Bills have got to win 14 to win your competition. And I will just say that is not as likely as the Jets and the Giants combining for more wins than the Kings of Western New York. Yeah, buddy. Mm. That's right.
Interesting.
City that never sleeps.
Jersey football team.
Because I don't follow baseball in that city anymore. The NFL season can't happen quick enough. Big Mike Brown fan. I can't wait to see what he's cooking up with the Knicks. What else?
Who's the Rangers coach these days? Okay.
What else?
All right, let's talk Browns. Shador in action tonight. What's more likely to be the higher total for the season? Shador starts or Browns wins?
Oh, I'll go Browns wins. I think Flacco is going to start, and he's going to start a lot of games, and the Browns will have more wins than Shador starts this year. I don't know, you know, how the makeup is going to be of the roster. I don't know what the number of quarterbacks are going to be. I don't know the injury. I would love to see Shador ball out tonight and then suddenly shoot up the depth chart and then be the guy that suddenly gets Browns fans all excited again, and Deshaun who, and Arch who, and
yeah.
I would absolutely, as you know, love for that to happen, 1,000,000%, and it all can start tonight. But you're asking, this is not like, what does Rich want? It's called what's more likely, right?
What's more likely
is that Flacco starts most of the games, and that the Browns definitely have more wins than Shador Sanders starts in 2025. What else?
Couple more. Chiefs Cardinals on Saturday night. Would you rather have in fantasy this year, Mahomes or Kyler Murray?
Get out of here.
I mean, that's you can't just dismiss it.
What do you mean,
that?
Get out of here?
I did just dismiss it.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I did just dismiss it.
Remember, this is fantasy football.
I'm aware of that.
Fantasy football.
Do you want to look at Kyler Murray's back half of 2024 in fantasy football? Anybody?
Oh, you had him last
Bueller?
Year.
Yeah. Anybody? I didn't have him last year.
Oh, you didn't. I had him. That's right.
No, at one point, I had a decision to make in the league that I want to win more than any other. Do I trade for Kyler Murray? Do I trade for Jaden Daniels? One trade I made. The other one I decided to go against. Thank goodness. Come on, dude.
Well, we're not talking about Jaden Daniels.
I'm talking about
Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
Kyler Murray.
I said Patrick Mahomes. You may disagree.
I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just... You just completely dismissed the question, and that's a little insulting. That's all.
I'm not meaning to insult. I think the fact that I'm not dismissing it is insulting. That you're not dismissing it is insulting to Patrick Mahomes. How does that sound?
And churlish.
It is insubordinate and churlish. Okay.
Rushing stats you need Mahomes to include.
Mahomes is just a guy that all of us in the national media and those who call games just go overboard all over. He's lucky. The refs love him.
And
that has nothing to do with fantasy football. We're just talking about fantasy football.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes had 28 total touchdowns last year. Kyler Murray had 26.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is
so
not...
So who would you rather have in fantasy? Somebody who had 28 or 26?
Well, what I'm saying is that's
who
two touchdowns.
Who would you rather
touchdowns.
Have? Somebody who's got Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy and
rushing
hopefully
yards,
Rasheed Rice.
The rushing yards kind of makes up
that's
for it.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, we're not talking about who's a better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm just talking about fantasy.
You got one more over there?
I'm talking about fantasy, man.
Can we move on? I'm absolutely...
You,
the
everything just changed
you know
right
why?
Now.
You know why? Because I don't want a phone call from Eric Stone Street.
We know.
Because I'm so sensitive, and he's so sensitive. We're so sensitive together. It's like our own football modern family.
I don't know why I'm putting your businesses out there like that. Guys, what star are you most worried more likely to miss week one?
Micah Parsons.
Matthew Stafford or Micah Parsons? Cowboys Rams on Saturday. Cage and I will be there. Because we're real fans, Mike.
Can I answer? This is a very serious question. You give me. Can we give? Can we give the stalled negotiations an epidural? Can I get a shot of cortisone?
I think you know maybe.
Oh, can it?
Sure.
All right. So then I'll go Stafford.
I'm more worried about
because Bucks are more bad. Actually, you know what? Great question. I'll go right now. I'm more worried about Matthew Stafford. Somebody is pushing. You know, getting up there in age and it needs an epidural. Yep.
Paige and Dr. Buckman.
Because Dr. Jones with his old rubber gloves. How can you not play that one?
Oh, hang on.
It's going to give this negotiation an epidural.
Dr.
Got one more.
Jones with my rubber gloves is going to make sure every one of you are safe.
All right. Because Andrew Hawkins is waiting.
One more. I did not know
this. For playing my boy. Well, I'm picking up from camp this weekend.
QB more likely that needs to have the better season this year, Caleb or Tua?
Ooh. This whole business of who needs. Who
somebody
needs,
needs to.
Somebody needs to have a better year.
All right.
I'll go, guys, only in year two.
Yeah. I'll go Caleb. So, I'll go Caleb.
I think
Tua,
that's the wrong answer.
I'll go Caleb because Tua's paid. He's paid. What's going to happen?
Teams don't care about just benching and cutting guys anymore.
Tua is paid, pal.
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
And Caleb, I mean, if Caleb has a down year with the new coach,
he won't.
Right, and everything's going right, and then suddenly, what's happened? Chicago's all over him. What do you think, South Florida, with everybody that's you know? Everybody's
not
gonna
a
be
lot
like
of media scrutiny.
They're gonna be flipping out down there.
South Florida, is that what you're saying?
I mean, because you're talking about need, pressure, that sort of stuff. I'll go with Chicago over South Florida, and I'll go with a kid that still needs to prove something over a kid that's been paid.
Who hasn't really proved much.
Okay, that's your way of looking at it.
Okay.
We'll take a break, everybody. Good What's More Likely. Andrew Hawkins, bring on out. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. All right, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, back on the Rich Eisen Show after it's been way too long. Andrew Hawkins is back in the program. Good to see you, Hawk.
Thank you. We
always shoot our audience straight. Hawk sits down and he goes, "What do you want to talk about?" I'm like, "I don't know. What do you want to talk about?" Am I wrong?
No, it's vibes, man. It's all vibes.
It is.
That's what it's about.
What's for dinner question at your house? Like, what do you want for dinner? No, I mean, anything's fine.
I never want to go first in that.
We both
want
to eat.
You know what I mean? I never want to go
whatever
first
you say
in
is the wrong answer.
It's not that it's the wrong answer. I just don't want it to be wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like that makes sense.
But this is not what we want to talk about. Was my
no? That wasn't on the list. There are things I don't want to talk about.
That's one of them.
And having dinner is one of them. Yes, for sure.
Well, what is on your mind football wise?
Like, what is what hits you? What hits you is we're now
preseason,
less than a month. Well, I mean, we're right. So
yeah,
is what's to read into it?
Preseason. You know, I think general philosophy around preseason.
Yes,
it means so much. It means nothing at the same time for everybody because it's
isn't
really
that life in such a way. Sometimes,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Okay. Exactly. And we get excited about it, and I get excited about it as well.
Sure,
but there's like so many. I mean, narratives, storylines, but like it's so specific to the player. Like I can remember going through my first preseason.
Yes, sir.
And there was like four plays that allowed me to make the practice squad.
Was this for the Rams?
This is when I actually was with the Rams for one day.
Okay.
So it wasn't with the Rams. It was with the Bengals.
Bengals, okay.
And there was like my first preseason game playing was against the Jets. And I made a tackle on the punt team.
Nice.
I jumped in for a fumble. On offense, I cut a linebacker, which is like a big deal back then. Yeah. Now it's like I'd go to prison. But back then it was like you're ready to mix it up.
Yeah.
And then I caught a comeback for like 12 yards and nobody touched me. And I had the sense of mind to get up and run for an extra 3 yards. And Marvin Lewis the next day, like put those string of plays together and was like, this is how you start to build to make the team.
Oh.
Four plays that you never would think. That the fans don't give a damn about, that, you know, even the team is probably like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, those were like, that was my Mona Lisa. That was
your four
plays.
Was
my Super Bowl winning plays when I look back, and it changed the trajectory of my career. So
that's how you made the Cincinnati Bengals,
Andrew
Hawkins?
That's how I made the Cincinnati Bengals.
How about that?
It gave me a chance to get a chance. You know,
I love hearing stories like that. That's when people are watching preseason games over the weekend. This is some serious stuff that's at stake here. Lives are at stake. Careers are being built. And if we like having fun. We're like, oh, what does it really mean? Well, it means a lot. And obviously it also means about culture building and things of that nature and getting out there and coaches who are preaching something and selling something that it gets bought because you can see it in a game. You could see it in a locker room after a game and things like that. And then there's something like tonight with Shedeur Sanders. I mean, what do you think his opportunity truly is tonight?
It's kind of what I just talked about. And, you know, there's so much being said. Is he being set up to fail? Is, you know, he didn't get that many reps with the one team. Well, this is where you show it. This is like, can you make every snap, every play, every game feel like it's the most important thing in the world? Because as a professional, that's what you're looking for. So is it ideal? No, it never is. And the lower you are on the draft board or where you came into the league, the harder it is, right? So as a fifth round pick, the setting is never going to be perfect. That's just the reality of what it is. And we know Shedeur, in my opinion, Shedeur is better than a fifth round pick, but it doesn't matter because you're a fifth round pick. And that is the system that you're now opted into.
Like if you told me before the draft, Shedeur Sanders would get the start in the first preseason game for the Cleveland Browns, that means he was drafted third overall and he's going to be their guy. Seriously.
Yeah, of course.
But instead, he's getting the start tonight and maybe playing every snap because he was a fifth round pick. And the guy who they plan on starting is 40.
Yep.
And he doesn't need the reps.
Yes.
And the other two guys, including the veteran they snagged from the Philadelphia Eagles and another rookie quarterback that they got, were, you know, banged up enough in preseason that they're just going to give Shedeur the start. And so those are the circumstances you start and maybe play an entire game if you're a fifth round pick. And just to bring it all full circle here, the conversation was, does Shedeur really take this stuff seriously? Is he going to, you know, be able to be a fifth round selection and take advantage of the opportunities? Well, I think tonight he's going to show you damn straight I am.
I think he is, too. And I think even since he's been drafted, the narrative around his personality, how he approaches things, I mean, he's been the center of attention probably more than any draft pick.
His whole life,
that came into the league this year. Yes, in his whole life. And he's handled it like you would expect a professional to handle it, in my opinion.
Right.
Right. Like, we're barely talking about Cam Ward. They're talking about Shedeur Sanders. But when you hear in the building, all he does is do his work. He's quiet. He's trying to learn. No, he doesn't want his dad to come because he feels like he needs to do more. Those are all the signs you're looking for. Okay, now you're thrust into the starting spot when probably wasn't the plan based on where you are on the depth chart and the quarterbacks that came in before you. But this is what's special about it. Okay, you didn't have first team reps. People consider that. So if you go in here today and you ball with players that maybe you didn't get as many reps with, or maybe the setup wasn't ideal, that does tell you about who the player is. So this really is an opportunity for you, because every player that has overachieved what they came into the league at will have a very similar story. The only reason I made an active roster is because Jordan Shipley blew out his knee. Not ideal. Jordan is an incredible guy, was a great wide receiver. He blew out his knee the second week of that same season I talked about, and then I had a seven-year NFL career. If not for that, I don't know if I would have seen the field that year. I don't know if they would have kept me the year after, but that's the circumstances of being a professional. So, Shador, now you have an opportunity that you have to go into every game thinking, I'm going to be the starter. At some point, I'm going to go in and play, and I'm going to be ready. So it doesn't matter what the outside says. It doesn't matter what the setting is. In your mind, just like every player receiver has to think before the snap, I'm getting the ball. The moment you don't think you're getting the ball is when the ball comes and you're not ready for it, and it dictates your life. So Shador should be ready. He will be ready. And all the setting around it will just play into the narrative of why he should or shouldn't be a starting quarterback.
Andrew Hawkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your best guess, what's going through the mind of Shane Steichen, HC of the Indianapolis Colts, and the rest of the front office, okay?
Yeah.
After seeing Anthony Richardson get blown up on what appears to be a protection he needs to handle himself pre-snap, not look away from David Ajabo and the hot receivers while staring down somebody completely on the opposite side of the side of the field. Now, obviously, I'm leading the witness here.
Yeah,
but that that said, though, do you think they're sitting there thinking, learning moment that he needs to play out, that at least he's healthy coming through it? Or they're like, this is exactly the problem with this kid, and I'm glad we have Daniel Jones, and he's going to be our guy. What do you think is happening right now?
Of those two options, I would say it's probably the latter. Just because, to your point, like at some point, it's your responsibility to protect yourself, right? And there is, the NFL is a 100% injury rate. Simple as that. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And how you manage that, how you prevent that, right? How you bounce back from that will determine how long you play, how well you play, and how much you contribute to an organization. And for Anthony Richardson, from day one, that has been the question, right? There may be other quarterbacks who have also gotten hurt a lot of times in a short amount of span. You remember Joe Burrow is going through, he has injuries every other couple of years, it feels like.
Yes, sir.
When he's not injured, you see the way he plays. But then on top of that, it's like, okay, could he have prevented this? And with Anthony Richardson, you see some of the way he runs and, you know, can he protect himself better? And this is another instance of like, well, you can't protect yourself. So it's not so much that the luck of, you know, bounce of the ball is preventing you from having games. It's you have to be able to play the position in a way that prevents you from losing time. Otherwise, we can't build around you as a starting quarterback.
Shouldn't these be the mental reps that he's had all these years in the times when he's had downtime? Listen, I don't want to beat the kid up here, but
no, it's the truth. You know, this is good. I love this. The reason why I love you saying that,
okay,
should it be the mental reps? When you look at Anthony Richardson, here's why him not playing a bunch of football matters. I tell my son, who is 13 now, and from the beginning, I say, look, man, every day you have to be doing something towards what you want. It's not like you can't go into a season. If you're a basketball player, if you shoot four shots a day, that's not going to get you to where you need to get to, because everyone has a number. And I don't know what that number is for you. You don't know what that number is for you. If Kobe Bryant, it takes 20,000 shots to become Kobe Bryant, and he takes 19,999, we never hear Kobe Bryant. If that's his number, and he doesn't know what his number is. So he has to shoot 1,000 shots a day, because his number might be 20,000, it might be 100,000, it might be 200,000. Steph Curry's might be 2,000, it might be 100,000, it might be a million. But it's your job to get as many reps as possible to get to your number. For Anthony Richardson, I don't know if the amount of mental reps he's had to date is enough to unlock what his potential is physically or his tangible tools. And he doesn't know that either. So that's what you have to grade is, okay, is this a guy that's getting as many reps every day throughout the year possible to try to make his track towards whatever his number is? And that's something that only the Colts can decide. But typically when I look at a player, that's how I judge whether or not you'll reach your ceiling. Not because I know what your ceiling is, but I can see in you how important it is for you to try to find that ceiling.
Andrew Hawkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned about how it's basically 100% hit rate on being injured in the NFL, right? That reminds me of what Devontae Adams said this week about why he thinks Travis Hunter will not be a two-way player in this league, is that you're now doubling your chance of the 100% happening, and thus you will not be available on either side of the football because you're attempting this, and thus, you know, it's not that he thinks He shouldn't. He just thinks it won't be successful at the end of the day. I told him, you know, not personally, I just threw the screen here. You know, stick to tacos in your basement. Don't throw cold water on this excitement that I feel about this opportunity for a unicorn to shine. What do you think?
It's a matter of what success is to Travis Hunter. Meaning, like, I don't think he could be the best receiver he could possibly be if he's playing wide receiver and corner. I don't think he can be the best possible corner he can be if he's playing wide receiver and corner.
Why not? He's done it his whole life. Deion's got this guy ready for greatness.
I don't think he's not going to be great, right? Like, I'm just saying, like, he could be the best corner and receiver the NFL has ever seen, Deion included. And if that's the bar for success, go for it. Do what you feel is best. But just like the example I gave about the reps, for every rep that you're not getting at the cornerback position, you're putting towards something else. And if it takes X amount of reps to be the best corner the NFL has ever seen, and you're splitting it in half, that's just the reality. So it might be good enough for both sides, but it will be really hard. Now, I'm not going to say the injury thing is the reason why it won't happen, because his own body and, you know, DNA composition would decide that. But I know when you get really, really tired, you have a higher likelihood of getting hurt. You know, when you get really, really tired, or you're putting more taxing on your body, you have a higher likelihood of getting beat at corner or not getting open at wide receiver. It would be really hard. And as you get older, that thing becomes even harder. So, yeah, I don't think it's impossible. I think it's impossible for him to be the best wide receiver that his body is capable of, or to be the best cornerback his body is capable of by splitting both.
Listen, Hawk, Rich don't want to hear none of that. All right? He wants Travis Hunter on the field 80 to 100 plays a game.
Yep. Yes, I do.
He don't want to hear nothing.
And that might be good.
He's a young buck. He's like, you're only, what, is he 22? You're only 22 once. And he's done it. And that's the only way he knows how to do it. So maybe he won't be as good a player if he doesn't do both. How about that?
That's the only way
he knows how to
do
that?
It. Yes. He could be so depressed about playing one side of the ball that he loses his love for the game altogether.
I'm not saying he's going to lose his love of the game.
I'm just saying, I agree, though. I don't know.
There's only one way how to do it. This is the way he does it. So let him do it. And let's see how it goes. And then maybe mid-season, you know, you pull back a little bit here, you pull back a little bit there, and then you keep him fresh and just let him fly. You know, like, why are we telling you too close to the sun already? Don't fly at all. You know what I mean? Like, that's all what I'm saying.
I don't think that's wrong. I don't think you're wrong on that, Rich. I'm with you. I'm all for fun.
If you're the Jaguars, that's this. You want it. You want to see it.
They don't have much to lose. So, I try my tackle while you're at it. Hell with
this guy.
You know, put it all out there.
Make him a punter.
I'm not, no. Like,
no, that's where I draw the line.
No.
Well, they're people too, Rich.
You know, so Deion refers to himself as a five-down player, three on defense, one on special teams, and the first one on offense. Because
I like
he just
man.
Got everyone off the field.
I'm not saying it's not possible. I think he is a freak of nature when it comes to playing football. He is a special athlete, one like we have not seen in a very long time, and maybe ever. But I am just saying, people aren't crazy for saying that it's going to be almost impossible to do because we've never seen it done at that level. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it can't be done. Just means it's going to be really, really hard.
All right. Could I keep you to the end of the hour? One more segment?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Andrew Hawkins is here, everybody. Phone calls. And then, of course, our friend Ezra Freck, who is a gold medal Paralympian, will be here on the Rich Eisen Show. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I've got Andrew Hawkins here. Were you ever involved at a training camp that got sucked up in a contract dispute between a star player and management? You ever in the middle of something like that?
Let me think here.
No?
Yeah. I think basically my first training camp.
Was who?
Was 2011 Bengals.
Odd that they're involved.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And
was that out loud?
Yeah. Carson Palmer refused to come to the facility. And that was the year they drafted Andy Dalton in the second round. AJ Green was a first round pick. And we're like, is do we have a quarterback or not? And they're like, we got Bruce Gradkowski. I think we're going to ride with him unless Andy Dalton shows some promise. Andy Dalton ended up being the quarterback. They end up trading Carson to the Raiders, I believe, right before or later in that season. But that was like a big deal. That was the storyline.
So hell yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty big one.
Jeez, when it involves a quarterback as well. I mean, we're not seeing this with a quarterback, but we're seeing, I guess, with the quarterback of the Cowboys defense in one.
Yeah.
And a quarterback whose top weapon in his remarkable rookie season is another, right, with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, Terry McLaurin.
And then there's Trey Hendrickson with Cincinnati right now. But how did that, I mean, you're a first-year player. Clearly, you know, you're welcome to the NFL. But yeah. What was it like in camp when all of this stuff was going on and everyone's being asked about it?
Yeah, like, it was a topic, like, every day.
Was there a conversation that Andrew Whitworth was on the program earlier this week, mm-hmm. was alluding to, and he was in Oxnard and seeing firsthand, was there a conversation about within the locker room, hey, if they're not willing to pay the guy here, mm-hmm. what will that mean for me if I ball out? Are those conversations real?
Those are real. Because the tone is always like, hey, just so you know, you're not as good as this person.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand like where you fit on that pecking order. You can't go into these situations, these years, these contracts, and think that you're the one who's special. Because this is how it approaches. And it does like fix your mind for that. Now, that doesn't make you take your foot off the gas, because it's still contracts you need or conversations you need to be had. And Carson was a little different because it was kind of like, it wasn't like I need more money. It was straight up like I want to be out. And I actually think him leaving the Bengals, you know, I would argue that it wasn't the best decision. It needed to be done for him and kind of where he was in his career. But I think the Bengals went on a run. It didn't result in playoff wins.
Right.
But they went on a big run with some of the team that they were able to put together, probably because their quarterback was on a rookie contract. But yeah, you know, it is a sentiment, and it does prepare you whenever you get in that situation to mm-hmm. know
mm-hmm.
what the team's perspective is going to be at you.
Yeah, because that Witt was describing that, you know. And then, you know, McLaurin, he turns 30.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants, we would assume, DK Metcalf, $30 million, $32 million, A.J. Brown type money.
Yeah.
Can't blame him.
You can't blame him. You can't. 30 is the magic number at wide receiver. Like, mm-hmm. no matter how good you are, they're going to try to pay you less. Unfortunately, that's the way.
You're talking about 30 age. You're talking
30 age. Yeah. 30 age.
You remember Bolden went?
Bolden was like still as good as he was ever. Like
beast.
Almost until the day he retired.
Right.
And it always seemed like such a strain for him. And I would look at his contracts, and as receivers, like, we're watching the film. Like, this guy, 100 plus receptions. Like, he's, the whole offense is running through him. And it just seemed like he would still have to keep proving himself or doing prove it deals.
Anquan
when
Bolden,
numbers
yeah.
wise, yeah, he was at the top. And
well, I mean,
been.
You could say like his Hall of Fame candidacy is going through the same thing, right?
Yeah,
where you're just like, hey, that guy should be finalist every year.
Absolutely.
Like, he is.
People forget, and
right.
it's time goes by,
yeah.
and if there's not enough people banging the drum, you know.
Well, with Larry going in next year, maybe that could be, you know, he and Kurt can.
Yeah.
Utilize the platform that will no doubt be afforded to them.
I hope so.
To say, let's not forget Anquan, who I hopefully will be in attendance because Larry's going in next year.
Yeah, it's he is. He's first.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Are you of the mindset the Eagles are the favorites again? Yes or no? Andrew Hawkins. Yeah, you're nay.
Nay.
Why?
I like the Ravens. I like the Ravens every year, though. I think that they've done a really good job in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were right there a year ago. And I don't know, something feels like this is the year they put it together. But I like the Eagles up there as well. I think it'll be an Eagles-Ravens Super Bowl.
You do believe the Eagles at least make it back, is what you're saying.
I think they are very, very okay. talented, as talented. It will be hard, personality-wise, on that team for a repeat.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, their talent, if last year was in the indicator, because there was points in last season as well, that thing did not look like a foregone conclusion. I think that they'll be there again.
All right, then let's work backward from
okay.
here. The Chiefs don't make it because the Ravens finally dispatch with them when they face each other, or the Chiefs will just have a regressed year?
I don't think the Chiefs will have a regressed
okay.
year.
Okay.
I also think that they got better. But, you know, it's at that point, when you look at those teams that are going to be there, I would put the Bills in that category as well. It really is like how much sleep did Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson get the night before.
Well, don't forget Burrow, too, right?
Burrow, obviously,
he looked amazing
for sure.
last night.
For
it
sure. The defense
stupid.
For Burrow is like what I question, obviously. And that's,
oh, yeah, right.
Unless he can go do Travis Hunter and play some safety.
well, he'll be less of a
quarterback. I know you're all for it, Rich.
No. I'm not saying everyone needs to play both sides of the football,
yes, you are.
Andrew Hawkins.
You're saying,
I'm saying
like
there's one
football
kid
in Iowa. Everybody plays both ways.
No, I'm saying there's one kid who's proven he can do it.
Yeah.
And he's done it at a high level.
Heisman,
and
yes.
he's a Heisman Trophy winner. And he is somebody that should not be held back in any way, shape, or form. And let's see what we got going. So, I mean,
I believe that.
Okay.
One question on that.
Okay.
At what point, not that do you pull the plug, but what are your checkpoints to say this is or isn't working?
Why we got to have checkpoints? Why are you being so negative?
Checks and balances is negative?
No.
This is a big investment.
It's clearly not. I'll be honest, I don't think there's enough checks and balances, but that's for another conversation. But, dude, come on now. Like, let's see what happens.
Let's just see what happens.
No, obviously, the way this works. There's all sorts of, chips and shoulder pads, and they know how fast you can go, and they know what your GPS is and all this sort of stuff. They got this thing handled, man.
You think so?
Yes, they do.
I like it.
Let's see what happens.
Let's trust them. Blind trust. Let's do it.
And this is what I want. I want it ramped up. If you want to ramp it up, I want it ramped up. Week 5, the Chiefs are in Jacksonville on Monday Night Football. Duval County is going to be showing up in full force, and I want Travis Hunter to be at his full complement of him standing across whoever if Rashee Rice is there or not.
Uh-huh.
I want him standing across Rashee Rice or Xavier Worthy, and then I want him running routes.
Yeah.
Against this Chiefs defense. This is what I want to see.
It would be the most exciting thing.
On Monday Night Football, they'll track him. They'll have one of their 20 million cameras on him. And that's what the NFL should want. That's what the Jaguars should want. I mean, I've made my point, I guess.
I don't think – I think the sentiment around people talking about whether this can or can't, should or should not, what's possible, isn't possible, is that it's from a spirit of hate. And I don't believe that that's the case.
Okay.
I think it is protection. I think, especially from a player's perspective, when they're talking about Travis Hunter and this being hard and they shouldn't do that, it's coming from a place of you don't want the worst for this kid.
Of course, no, of course not. I am having a little bit of fun here, but I am fully aware of there's a reason why we don't see it.
Right.
There's a reason why he is a unicorn, all right? And that is because if everybody could do it, they would. Is that, what is that, from A League of Their Own, right? Isn't that the line about if...
If it was hard, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Right, that's the line.
The hard is what makes it great.
Right, like that is...
I like that.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, all right, so who's the team that gives the Eagles the best threat in the NFC then? Just if we're working backwards on the NFC side of things.
Real quick on Travis Hunter, really quick.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
I'm sorry.
Sure. No, it's fine.
Now my mind is going
here. All right,
here
we go.
Now I'm going to put my NFLPA executive director hat on.
Oh, boy, okay.
Okay.
I think the job's open.
In success.
There's an interim person right now.
Okay. In success, what does this look like? Let's say he goes, balls out, receiver, corner.
I'll tell you right now. I'll give you the answer. Thank you for asking.
Yes.
He's the offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
Okay.
And then creates a massive problem for the Jacksonville Jaguars when it comes time to pay him. And raises the boats of anybody else who wants to try it.
Yeah.
And resets the receiver and defensive back market at the same time. And he's on the face of every single cereal box you can think of. What do you think about that?
I like that. The likelihood of that happening is so...
I know. Trust me.
You know, like
I know we're threatening.
Are they
going to
pay him like a top receiver and a top corner twice, which is what should happen? And that's why I say,
look at Ohtani.
Is it worth it? Are they going to pay you the $32 million McLaurin's asking for, as well as the $32 million that you're getting as a number one corner or a corner on the top? Like, they're not going to pay you $64 million. And this is a business deal.
No, I understand that.
You don't give them more work than they're paying for.
No, I understand that. By the time this will be a question, the markets will have reset. And it'll all depend on which corner or wide receiver Jerry takes too much time to pay. Did I bring it all full circle?
He did. He did. I like that.
Good to see you, Andrew Hawkins. Good. Thank you for being here on
Thanks
the Rich Eisen Show.
Man.
Please come back anytime, man.
Of course.
Let's do it. And then, by the way, this is not an LA thing where I don't mean it when I say it. I truly mean it.
For really quick before we go.
Everybody.
Okay. So I think if we can figure that
out. Andrew Hawkins here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're still here on the Roku Sports Channel, everybody. It's okay, Mikey. It's okay. Mike premature played music.
Yeah, I got excited.
Turn my mic back. The league doesn't want him to play both, honestly, from a pay perspective.
That is an absolute ridiculous notion.
I don't know about that, man.
I told you this, man.
They don't want the issue of a guy being so good at two positions,
dude.
He's going to now be demand to be paid twice.
Let me tell you
the
something.
The league does not want that.
I think if that's the case, the league would be happy, right?
Oh,
like, no, how can it be looked at as
think
a bad
thing?
Think
about the finances. No, they do not want this.
Listen, let me just shoot everybody straight. There are people in the NFL who might feel that way. Okay? I'm not going to lie. I don't know who they are. There might be some people who feel that
they
sort
exist.
Of way. Okay? They might be, you know, in ownership. Okay? Membership or whatever you want to call it. I understand that. And there are some people who, you know, are in the league offices who feel like, the NFL stands astride the sports landscape like the colossus that it truly is.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really matter, all right, at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, every sports league needs to have somebody who is transformational. Everybody's looking for it. Baseball should be throwing every rose petal at the feet of Dave Roberts for keeping Shohei Ohtani as a starting pitcher. Okay, and they should be throwing rose petals at Shohei Ohtani's feet. What else do you need, Shohei? What would you like? Because you are a unicorn that cuts through all the static on behalf of Major League Baseball. And there's a lot of static that the NFL has people to help cut through.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter doing what I just laid out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me, what does it look like in ultimate success?
Right?
Yeah. And I gave you what I feel, and on top of it, I'm sure the Jaguars would include an MVP for him and a Super Bowl trophy for the city,
awesome.
Right? But at the end of the day, if Travis Hunter can play both sides of the ball like this and the Jacksonville Jaguars are suddenly getting flexed into because of it and they're winning divisions and they're winning the AFC and they're threatening the Chiefs on a Monday night and beating them in front of the whole country, and that's all we're talking about the next day is, did you see what Travis Hunter did this time?
Yeah.
You can't turn that down. And the NFL at the end of the day should want that, and I hope they do. How's that for your answer?
Are they going to defer 95% of Travis Hunter's future contracts?
I don't know what they're... Now, the money aspect of it will be fascinating.
I want him to do all those things. It would be amazing. I think baseball has a better reputation of them compensating for when
there's no cap there.
And that's kind of the point. It's like, there's a real good chance that all that happens, and then it's like, yep, now you're going to get paid like a top receiver, and that should be enough.
Andrew Hawkins, you're on the program.
I am Michael Rosenbaum.
I am Tom Welling.
Welcome to Talkville,
where it's fun to talk about Smallville.
We're going to be talking to sometimes guest stars.
Are you liking the direction Lois is going in?
Yeah, because I'm getting more screen time.
It's good.
But mostly it's just me and Tom remembering.
I think we all feel like there was a scene missing here.
You got me, Tom.
Let's revisit it. Let's look at it.
See what we remember.
See what we remember.
I had never been around anything like that before. I mean, it was so fun.
Talkville.
Talkville.
I just had a flashback.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Let's get into it.